Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Breaking the Code by Hugh Whitemore is currently running on Barrington Stage Company's Boyd Quinson Main Stage in Pittsfield, Massachusetts through the 2nd of August, starring March H. Dold and directed by Joe Calarco. Calarco? Help me out, Mark. Hello. Calarco?
Yeah.
Excellent. Breaking the Code tells the true story of famed mathematician and computer science pioneer Alan Turing, who solved the German Enigma code during World War II, not knowing that, as a gay man, he'd fight a much harder personal battle at home. Mark H. Dold has several Barrington Stage Company credits spanning 8 seasons, including creating and playing the role of C.S. Lewis in Mark St. Germain's Freud's Last Session. Mark continued this role and appeared in Freud in Chicago and off-Broadway for 2 years. Mark H. Dold, thank you so much for being with us. It's a pleasure to have you back in the program.
Hey, thanks so much. I'm a big, big groupie and a fan of yours.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. It's a delight to have you. We were talking about the show, I guess, when it was announced and then during the fun drive. And just, it's a fascinating story, and it seems like there is so much to attack, if you will, to go after and to explore, and it must just be endlessly fascinating for you.
It really is. I mean, I have to admit, you know, where it begins is with some kind of shame and embarrassment that I actually had no idea who the man was, really. And it's amazing, his contributions to, you know, to the world we live in today. I mean, the world we live in would just not be the same, you know, the way we're also attached to our devices, our computers, et cetera.
Right.
And I had no idea who the guy was, and it's like not knowing who Thomas Edison was or not knowing who Henry Ford was, you know. So, it started with a little bit of embarrassment.
And then you get over that.
Yes, then you get over that, and you realize you've got a mountain of work ahead of you, yeah.
So
then the first thing I did was I actually got myself on an airplane and I went to London, and I took a train about an hour north, and I spent an afternoon at Bletchley Park, where all the cold breaking actually happened. And I got to see what some of these incredible people were doing for many, many years of their lives. And that was kind of an extraordinary experience.
What is it about this man and this role that you felt you were a match for, if you will?
Oh, boy, that's a huge question. You know, in many ways, I have to tell you, I didn't think I was a match for this role at all. I mean, he's a mathematical genius, and that is the furthest thing in the world from me. But I guess emotionally, I understood him. You know, I mean, we're all so similar in many ways. We're all trying to fit in. We're all trying to, you know, find our reason to be. We're all trying to do what we do the best and be admired and respected and appreciated for it. And I guess I could really relate to that part of him. And, you know, I could also relate to the man who had to keep some secrets at points in his life. So in that way, it was easy. But, you know, at first, if you just kind of look at him blankly on the page, I thought, oh, my gosh, how am I going to do this? I mean, the man is just a genius. But the great thing about the play, really, and the beautiful thing about Hugh Whitemore's writing is that it doesn't really end up being a play about math at all. It's so much more complex than that. It's about human relationships.
Right.
And trying to break down kind of social codes and social barriers and just kind of finding, you know, find your way through life, find your reason to be.
And much more personal. I mean, it's a lot about the guy. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one man's real, it's his personal journey, you know, through, you know, trying to discover who he is. In many ways, I compare Turing to an Enigma machine himself. Very complicated wiring, very complicated circuitry. Someone might look at it and think, this is in fact something that cannot be understood. But, you know, if you look at any puzzle, like a Rubik's Cube, for instance, I mean, they're there to actually be solved. The mysteries are there to be solved. They're not there to permanently stump you. They want to be understood. And I feel like that was Turing in many ways. He just didn't really know how to go about it.
So the title of the play obviously has double meaning.
Yes,
breaking
well, probably
the,
more than double.
Well,
yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Obviously, his work of breaking the code, but
yep,
but also breaking his own code. Now, do you think or do you get a sense in the writing that this is something that we see as a construction within the play, that we're also breaking down this man and understanding him better, or do you feel that he himself did that through his work and came to greater understanding of himself?
Of himself? You know, I think the fascinating thing about Turing is that he always, I mean, deep down in his guts, I think he was one of those people who always unapologetically knew who he was. He knew what his strengths were. He knew what his weaknesses were. It was just a matter of him trying to function day to day, how he was going to get through the day in a society that he didn't really seem to fit into in many ways, because of his genius, because of his homosexuality, because of his lack of social grace, let's say. So I think he didn't know how to fit in, but he had a fairly decent understanding of who he was, of what made him tick. I mean, of course, I'm sure that he would have loved to have understood more about how to, you know, just get through a day socially, but... Yeah, I think it's more about the play. You know, the play is not told in a linear fashion. We kind of start in the middle, and then you flash back, and then you flash forward, and then you keep, and then you come back to the middle again. And it's kind of like this great mystery. And you, too, as the audience, you kind of see Turing trying to put himself together, but you're trying to piece the story together as well. It's just this beautifully constructed puzzle. But I do think ultimately Turing had a pretty decent idea of who he was and was trying to do the very best he could day to day. Yeah.
I found...
Go ahead.
No, I found it interesting just the story of the play itself. This originally opened in London, but it was written in the mid-1980s. This play goes back quite a ways.
Yes, the late 1980s. Derek Jacobi did it in London and then transferred to Broadway, and there's been really no revival or of it since, and it's remarkable to me as well.
Because two things on that. First of all, and I guess there's Benedict Cumberbatch is doing a film.
Yes, with Keira Knightley, yes, this fall, yes.
Which is in which he's playing Turing. He was given a pardon by the Queen in December of last year. I'm curious as to so we seem to be getting on board and understanding this now, this production being done. But for the mid-1980s for a show to do this and to look at this man seems to that it would have been almost before its time.
I agree also. I mean, AIDS, you know, I mean, we've come a great,
right.
You know, a great distance with AIDS research and just awareness in general. I mean, not to bring it down just specifically to AIDS, but yeah, we are in a much more hopefully, you know, tolerant, accepting, let's at least say country. I mean, I would imagine it was very, very different. But what's also beautiful about our production, too, directed by the amazing Joe Calarco, who's kind of the man of the season of Barrington Stage this year, we've kind of taken it out of its kind of tweedy English setting. And I hear that the Jacobi one was quite straightforward, kind of, with all due respect, Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
But we have kind of really twisted, put the play on its head. All the actors are on stage the entire time. Even an actor with only one scene is participating throughout. We have almost no set. We're kind of telling it, because of its non-linear structure, kind of as a fever dream. So I guess we've kind of taken it out of the 80s, let's say, and made it... more modern. It's a sexier production. We're trying to make it much more relevant and make it about the world, comparing it to the world we live in today more. But it would be fascinating to have seen it in the 80s, especially with somebody like Derek Jacobi. I can't imagine what that production was like, but again, I hear it was a traditional, let's say, quote unquote, a traditional production.
Right. But you just have to assume that you'd be riveted by his performance, because I haven't seen him in anything that... You're not riveted.
No, yes. I mean, the man is, you know, like Turing. I mean, he's a genius actor. I mean, It's so strange for me to be playing this part and hear his name keep getting thrown around when I know there's absolutely no comparison between the two of us whatsoever. But, I'm sure it was amazing. But buttoned up, a little bit buttoned up, I would imagine.
Sure. So you're unbuttoned. And talk to us a little bit. Talk to us a little bit about the challenges for you as an actor to obviously take on the main role and to be on the stage with those other actors for the full time.
Well, you know what's amazing about it is that it really is a mountain, and it just keeps coming. The scenes just keep coming and tumbling. So it really, in a great way for an actor, it kind of keeps you out of your head. You don't really have a moment to start watching yourself or start judging yourself, because literally the train just keeps on moving and you've got to stay on it. So there's something kind of beautiful about its construction that way, that you just keep plugging along and you just keep your head down. And it helps you kind of really lose yourself in the piece, I find. There's really, like I just said, there just isn't a moment to get outside of yourself and look and think, gee, how is that going? Or how did that moment go? Or gee, I blew that line. Or gee, my scene partner is really brilliant today. Because, I mean, if you do, the whole thing just derails. So that's great. I mean, I did have some issues with the math, I must admit. Again, I do not have a math mind. God love one of my nieces, my goddaughter, Katie Skinner. Shout out to Katie Skinner, who was a math minor in college. And she sat me down one afternoon and actually helped me kind of diagrammed one of the monologues for me and explained some of the math for me and told me a little bit more about who Kurt Gödel was and who David Hilbert was and what some of these great books were and what these theorems were. And that was interesting. Then there is, of course, the stammer. He was a profound stutterer and stammerer, which I then had to work into the mix. And then you got a 110-page script that you're on stage for every moment of. I do not speak for two of the 110 pages. That was a mountain as well. I started learning the lines about a month before first rehearsal. Because, you know, one of the beautiful things about working in the Berkshires is that you have to work very quickly. I mean, it's, you know, one of the pros and one of the cons. You get about 2.5 weeks to rehearse these amazing plays. So I knew that I didn't want the rehearsal process could not be about memorization.
Right.
It wouldn't be fair to me, it wouldn't be fair to the process, it wouldn't be fair to the director or my colleagues. So I had to come in as prepared as possible. And I'm proud to say that I only held a script for one day in rehearsal, which is good. So I knew that was coming, I had to prepare that way. It's been kind of, an experience. I'm very, very tired. I spend a lot of time sleeping. When I'm not on stage, you can probably find me sleeping somewhere.
Napping.
But I have to admit, he's one of the greatest men of the 20th century. It's a thrill for me. I can't believe we don't know who he is. I can't believe that a country almost managed to erase him from history books. I just can't believe that our director has even said once, I can't believe he's not on every gay pride flag flying across the country. I mean, it's astounding that people don't know who he is. And hopefully now with more productions of this play and with this major movie coming out in the fall, posthumously he will receive, have his due, have his time.
Breaking the Code by Hugh Whitemore and starring our guest Mark H. Dold runs on the Boyd Quinson main stage at the Barrington Stage Company in Pittsfield, Massachusetts through August 2nd. For showtime and ticket information, you can visit barringtonstageco.org, barringtonstageco.org. Mark, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck with the remainder of the run. And it's always a thrill to have you here and having you do such great work in the region. Thank
you
so much.
Please come see us if you can. Please.
Can't
please
wait.
Come.
Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.